Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and you know, we've got a special show for you today. Not only is this our second week on the brand new radio network, America's Talk Radio Network, we're real excited about that, opening up a whole new list of radio stations for you to access the show through radio. And of course, we've upgraded our website at scubaradio.com. So a lot of cool stuff going on, but a lot of neat things coming up in the diving world. And help kick off today's edition of the 2-hour radio spectacular is my good friend Roz from across the pond. Roz, how are you?
I'm fine, Greg. I'm fine. I'm just about to grab my passport because I'm running out the door. I'm flying into Florida this afternoon, and I'm so looking forward to it.
Yes, because next weekend is Tech Dive USA, which is Roz's baby. She's bringing together all these tech diving folks from around the world, and they're having a 2-day symposium for seminars and hobnobbing with these techies and just learning about how to be a safer diver. Not just a tech diver, but a safer diver, period. Right, Roz?
Yes, that's correct. We've got some really good safety talks which are pertinent to you, whether you're just learning to dive, you're a dive master trainee, you're an instructor, you work in public safety diving, you're a media diver, a scientific diver. You know, these are very useful safety talks for all of you.
Absolutely. So it doesn't matter if you are a tech diver, but this is kind of focused on that community of rebreathers, tri-mix divers, deep divers, you name it. These guys are into it and working on ways to make it better, safer, and more fun. And I tell you, you know, I've done a similar event with Roz a couple of years ago, this rebreather event. This is a much bigger thing and a much more unique event. Right, Roz?
It's certainly a broader event. It's about the same size as Rebreather Forum 3, yes.
Yeah.
But we've got a mixture of diving in here. This one we're talking about wreck diving and cave diving. We've got exploratory talks. We've got rebreather talks, as you mentioned, safety talks. And we've got things like Jill Hynes talking about diving an iceberg, for instance, and what happens there. And
wait, hold on, Roz. Did you say you have your Hynes speaking about what?
Yes, you could describe Jill as your Hynes quite well, actually.
Okay, it's an accent thing. She throws me a curve every now and then. But the actual guy's name or girl's name is what? Jill Hynes. That's what you were saying, right? Okay.
Yes.
It's that accent, your Hynes. It kind of said how it sounded to me. So, but Jill Hynes, yeah, she's a world-renowned in the tech diving world in the U.S., anywhere. I mean, she's pretty much done some incredible, crazy rebreather dive things that, I mean, she has just numerous stories that will entertain you for hours. So she's just one of many they're putting on, presentations and speeches and things like that, right?
That's right. She's talking about happened when she dived an iceberg, and she was coming out of an iceberg, and it was dynamic. It changed.
Okay, now wait a minute. She's diving out of an iceberg or under an iceberg? Let's clarify that, because if it was out of an iceberg, that would be pretty crazy. Or is she actually inside the iceberg, like a cavern in a cave opening in the iceberg? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Greg. Actually, she was inside the iceberg. Hmm. I think that she used her cave expertise, and she was exploring the ice passages throughout the iceberg.
Wow.
Which was extraordinary. But unlike a cave, the iceberg's dynamic, which meant that when she tried to come out, she couldn't because the entrance had all sealed up.
Okay, so what does she travel with? Instead of a dive light, she has like an ice pick? Or how do you handle stuff like that? Do you know? Or I guess we have to go to Tech Dive USA and find out for ourselves, right?
You'll have to come to Tech Dive USA and find out how it all happened, Greg.
Yes, interesting. Well, you know, just one of many events going on. Now, who else can we expect to see? Or is it, when you go to the event, you can get, obviously, a program of all the things. But this stuff is all online as well. TechDiveUSA.com. That's TechDiveUSA.com. Right, Roz?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. You can come and see that. You can see the schedule that we've got up, and we've got speakers from all over the world talking. One of the interesting ones is we're bringing Rick Stanton over from the UK to come and speak, and he's a fireman by day, and he's a cave diver by night, but he's an extreme cave diver, and he ends up getting flown out to rescue people. Hmm. The British Army were doing a cave expedition in South America a few years ago. It was a properly run expedition. It was very well put together. It all went very well, apart from they went into a cave system and it flooded. And they had food with them and light and batteries and radios and things. But the flood water, which normally went down quite quickly, didn't. And after a few days, they were still trapped in the cave. It was a dry cave they were trapped in, but they were trapped by water and they couldn't get out. So Rick gets flown out to them with all his dive kit, and he basically had to dive in and then one by one teach them how to dive in the sump pool and then dive them out of the cave so that they could get out safe.
Wow. It kind of sounds like a spin on that movie Sanctum, except that the people went locked inside the cave didn't know how to dive.
Yes.
So he actually had to go in and teach them how to dive out of the cave, is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Crazy. That's crazy. But that sounds like quite an experience or quite an adventure. What kind of course did he put them through? Like a Patty Discover Scuba or what do you think?
I think it was a very, very quick Patty Discover Scuba.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. Yeah, that's pretty nutty. So he'll be there to explain that story maybe and God knows what other adventures. Who else we have on the docket there for Tech Dive USA this week or next weekend?
We've got Pete Mesley coming in, and he's coming in. He's flying in from Truk, actually, and he's going to be talking about the wrecks of Truk and Bikini Atoll. And they are on every diver's bucket list. I mean, have you ever been there yet?
I have not. Truk definitely has been on my list. The Bikini Atoll, you know, where they dropped the bombs. I've seen a lot of video of some crazy shark action out there and just marine life because it'd been so uninhabited by humans for so long after the bombs were dropped in that area, that the marine life is very friendly. They don't know what to think of us humans. Like, hey, how you doing? Hadn't seen you in a while. Come on by. And they get up close and personal, including the sharks and stuff. Is that what you've heard as well or what?
Yes, that is. With Bikini, you now have to steam there for 24 hours because you can't fly there direct. Pete's one of a few experts in the world that runs decent expeditions, so, you know, very safe expeditions to Bikini. And what he does is he actually puts a diving doctor on board as well, because you're so far away from civilization that should something go wrong, the diving doctor is on board to make sure that you're safe and well looked after.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be important, including, I don't know, do they put you in those nuke suits as well? Because, I don't know, they still have a little bit of nuclear fallout stuff going on out there somewhere, don't they? Or is that just an internet rumor and innuendo?
I'm not a scientist. I can't comment. I don't know, Greg.
Yeah, well, I don't know if these people on the internet would comment in that regard as well. But, I don't know. I've heard it's safe to go to. But you know, that's where they dropped some big bombs and did a bunch of testing and blew up a bunch of stuff. And now we can finally go back to it safely, I guess. But, you can do the research on your own or go to Tech Dive USA and talk to this guy and find out what it's all about. Hey, I'm assuming you have not done this, but it's on your bucket list as well.
Oh, it's definitely on my bucket list. I've got to go and dive Truk, and I've got to go and dive Bikini with Pete.
Yes. I've heard some pretty cool stories about diving there. So it's on my list, too, but it's kind of tough to get to from Florida. So it's been a challenge in that regard. But I don't know. We can make it happen, right?
We can make it happen.
Yes. Do you need to get that?
Oh, God. I don't believe this. Hang on.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Roz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just hung up. It was a telemarketer, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You got to answer those calls. You never know. It could be someone really important. And Roz gets a lot of important calls. So, look, techdiveusa.com. Go there and get all the information for the big event next weekend in South Florida. You'll have a great time. You'll meet Roz. She's worth price admission right there.
Greg, you're not going to leave that phone call in, are you?
We'll edit that out in post. Yeah, that's what we'll do. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Thanks, Roz.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwatercay.com.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba, 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 uba. Scuba dooba hooba hobba. Scuba. Scuba diver.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Where in the world is Jerry Beatty? That's what everybody asks me every time I meet him face to face. And sometimes they even call me up on the phone. So I figured, what better day to do that than today? And lo and behold, of course, I give him a call and he's at the airport. So, Jerry, welcome aboard once again for Scuba Radio. And where the hell are you?
Well, I got to tell you, Greg, your timing is good because I'm sitting at the Miami airport, just got back in the States.
Yes. Well, you know, he travels a lot for Dive Training Magazine, hobnobbing with dive industry professionals around the world. So I figure, you know, it's always good to check up with Jerry and find out what he's seen, where he's been, and that kind of thing. So you just got back in the States. Obviously, you've been traveling where? Throughout the Caribbean someplace or what?
Yeah, a bit of that, been down to Cayman, and then over to Dominica. It was kind of a dream trip, really. Down in Cayman, I was lucky enough to be there for the sinking of the Guardian of the Reef, which Nancy Easterbrook from Dive Tech put together and it was quite a moment.
Nice. Now, the Guardian of the Reef is a statue, right? Similar to the mermaid statue off of Sunset House, but a different thing. I guess it's more of a, what is it? Is it like the Christ of the Abyss in Key Largo or what?
It's quite larger than either of those. It's by the same artist that did the mermaid at Sunset House,
okay.
Simon.
Yeah.
And, but it's a magnificent statue. Putting this thing underwater was quite a plan, but I got to tell you, the crew at Dive Tech just had it down perfect. They went in first try.
Excellent. Well, they know their stuff there. I mean, they're tech divers. They're dive tech, so they know how to manage stuff underwater, whether it's rebreathers or taking underwater statues underwater and making them work. I guess the trick with that is making sure it goes down upright, I guess, because it's so big and heavy and stuff, or what?
Yeah, the trick was working those lift bags correctly and making sure that puppy goes down. Actually, they meant to lay it down on the sand and then pick it back up, and they actually dropped it right on the platform, bolted it down, and we had that whole thing done in about 30 minutes. It was really something to be underwater with it while it happened.
Nice. Now, okay, Guardian of the Reef. So is it a statue of Jesus or what? What is it?
It's half seahorse and half mythical warrior. It's something to behold. You might want to go online and take a look at it, because it is truly a magnificent underwater sight.
Okay, so it's like Poseidon type of thing, or overlooking the reef. Okay, that makes sense. Ties in with the mermaid theme they got on the other end of the island, so I like it. So how tall is this thing? You say it's bigger than the mermaid statue off of Sunset House. That's substantial right there. So how big is the Guardian of the Reef?
I think it's got to be 9 foot, and then it sits on the base. So it's probably a good 12 foot.
Okay, nice. And so it's stationed where exactly? Off of Dive Tech, off the east end of Grand Cayman, or where?
Well, it's actually up the west end of Grand Cayman, right off Lighthouse Point. Sits in 60 foot of water. It's just a short swim off the dock from Lighthouse. So you can go over there and you can rig out and get your tanks and weights and go right in the water, and she's right there.
Nice. So it'd be a nice little shore dive for people
it's
to go hang
excellent
out.
Excellent shore dive. Yeah, and then you can drop right off, because it's right below the mini wall, and then you can go and drop right off the deep wall, and you're on one of the most beautiful walls in Cayman.
Excellent. Now, the mermaid statue off of Sunset House has two areas on the statue that are very shiny. I'm guessing that's not really going to apply to the Guardian of the Reef, is it? Or is there a potential where we could have an issue like that with some of the divers? I'm guessing not. I mean, what are they guessing not. Yeah, what are they going to rub? I mean, a seahorse tail? Come on.
Yeah, really. Come on, Greg.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go look for the mermaid statue there at Sunset House and Google the pictures. You'll see what I'm talking about. But, hey, it's a divers or a wacky bunch. All right.
But
so
as great as that was, I got to tell you, Greg, I got to top it off, because I turned around and went straight down to Dominica. You've been to Dominica with me. You know what a great trip that is.
You know what? I just did a top 10 list of U.S. and Caribbean dive sites, and Dominica came in as my number one. There, Jerry. So I don't know if you know about that, but yeah, I mean, I obviously love Dominica, and you're one of the people who kind of introduced me to that beautiful island, you and Neil Watson. So thank you for that.
It's one of my favorite things to do, is to take people that haven't been to Dominica, and I'd love, just on the drive from the airport into Rosso, the capital, just the look on their faces makes the whole trip worthwhile.
Like, oh my God, he's here again? We haven't prepared properly. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so what did you do in Dominica?
Oh, I got some diving in with Dive Dominica, and I stayed in a couple of different places and ran all over the island and saw all those good people. It was a absolutely spectacular trip, with weather and water clarity, and just the whole thing was how do you describe Dominica, really?
Yeah, well, last time I went, I had kind of a dream trip as well. We did a week in Saba with Explore Ventures. We had a couple days in Nevis before we got on the liveaboard boat, and as soon as we got off in St. Martin, I flew to Dominica for 4 nights and hung out there. So it was a great trip, but to have that perspective of going from Nevis around Saba and St. Kitts and diving there, and then going over to Dominica, basically it gave me a pretty good baseline of what or how it rates as far as other destinations in the Caribbean. And how I described it, and maybe you can back me up on this, is just that it's so much more dense with the cool stuff. I mean, I'd see similar stuff, for instance, around the island of Saba, and that's beautiful diving. I love diving around that island. But when I got to Dominica, I saw the same stuff, but maybe in a more condensed setting. So on one dive, I would see maybe what I'd see on three dives in another place. Does that make sense? Is that a fair comparison, you think?
It does make sense. As my friend Derek Berryman used to say, it's the raw beauty of Dominica. It's just so dense, as you said, that when you get into it, it's just beauty all around you.
Yeah, you dive in, and I had my camera, and you know, as soon as you're taking a picture of a spotted, you know, moray or something, and then you take your picture, and then you turn to your left, and then there's something else you want to get a picture of, and then you know, you don't have to swim around; it's all right there in front of you, so close together. It's pretty spectacular, and the colors seem a little bit more vibrant there too. And what do you think it is? You think, well, I'm sure it's a combination of things, but it is a little bit more, you know, out of the way, a little harder to get to, so maybe not dive as much as some other places. But I think it's the island itself, the volcanic activity and the lushness of the island, and that transfers down to the reefs. What do you think?
Well, it's that. It's all of that. But it's also the topside, because you've got that dense rainforest, and then you've got a waterfall around every corner.
Absolutely. You know, Dominica, it's the nature island, and they live up to the name. All right, we got more with Jerry Beatty next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Bye-bye.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, talking to Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine. And, you know, where in the world is he? Well, he's at Miami International Airport today, finally coming back from an extended trip in the Caribbean, diving in Cayman and Dominica. He lives the life we all want to live, even me. And a lot of people say they want to be me, but trust me, I want to be him. So that just shows how impressive of a gig Jerry Beatty has and how respected he is in the dive industry on many, many levels. So, Jerry, coming back home, I know you need some downtime to rest from your travels, from your vacation, as a lot of people would call it. But I know you're going to hit the ground running as soon as you get back home and get ready for the scuba show in Long Beach, right?
Oh, I can't wait. I tell you what, the Long Beach show is one of those events that is just so full of energy. You get out there and you just go, 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 and you see so many people and see so many things. I got to tell you, there's a couple good consumer shows around the country, but the Long Beach show is just one of those that if you're ever in the area at that time of the year, you've got to go.
Absolutely. It is. You know, that and Beneath the Sea really are the two big, big shows every year. I mean, you could maybe throw Chicago in there as a three-pack event. But really, Long Beach and New Jersey up there and Beneath the Sea, those are the two biggest and most impressive shows. Yeah, East Coast, Left Coast, or West Coast, yeah. And, yeah, I love it. You know, the people are, we all have that same camaraderie of diving, and they're just fun to hang out with there in California. And I just love going out there, too, the whole area. This time, I'm hoping to get back out to Catalina Island, do some diving around the dive show. You going to do anything like that, too, or no?
No, I'm not going to have a time to do that, because I've got to get back down into the Caribbean, and, do some more diving down there, but I would love to do that. Long Beach is a great place for entertainment. It really is. And right now, good old American Airlines is putting me back on a silver tube and taking me away. So it's been great being with you here, Greg. But once again, I'm going to the air.
Yes. Well, he has to board his plane, so we'll let him go. Jerry Beatty, Dive Training Magazine. We'll see him in Long Beach at the Scuba Show. Check it out. Go there. It's first week of June, like June 7th, 8th. Around that time. We'll be there with our mermaids. They'll mix right in with that Left Coast crowd, no doubt. All right, more coming up right after the Dan Tip on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, Diver's Consumer Tip number 524. Underwater on your home loan?
You think this is funny?
They say that like being underwater is a bad thing.
Is this how you get your sick kicks?
Divers know better.
You see how wonderful life can be?
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Got a tip for us today, Nick?
Show.
Great. What are we going to talk about?
Shore, as in shore diving.
Oh, I see where we're going here. Good one. There's some great diving to be had just offshore in a lot of locations, but I'm thinking it's even better if you know how to do it safely.
My thoughts exactly.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, it'd probably help to talk about why divers like to go directly from shore. And I'm guessing you've done your share.
You are correct, sir.
What do you like about it?
Well, for one thing, it's less expensive. Once you've got your gear, all you need is gas money to get there.
And that's a big part of the appeal these days. What else?
Well, I like the independence of it. You don't have to worry about boat charters or schedules. You're free to explore whatever you'd like, whenever you'd like to do it. Not to mention the fact you usually have the site to yourself, which can be really nice.
You share the same sentiments as a lot of folks who enjoy shore diving. There are a lot of great aspects to it, but there are also some special safety considerations to take into account, too.
With independence comes responsibility.
Well, yes, but it's more. With independence, the responsibility is all yours. Unlike with commercial operations, you're likely to be diving without a dive professional with you.
Meaning?
Meaning, on a dive boat, the operation is likely supplying safety equipment like oxygen units and first aid kits. With independent shore diving, you don't have all of that. And if you plan to shore dive often, consider purchasing your own first aid kit and oxygen unit to have on hand in the event of an emergency.
And you should invest in some training so you know how to use it, right?
It does tend to do you more good if you know how to use it. It's also a good idea to have a cell phone or radio on site in case you need to call for help.
I know another safety factor I like to have on shore is someone who knows my dive plan. I like to leave it with someone I'm not diving with, so if I run into trouble, there's someone to report it and to tell rescue crews where to start looking.
That's really smart, and a step every shore diver should take. I'll bet you know a special piece of equipment every shore diver should have, too.
I'm guessing you mean a dive flag or a signal buoy?
Again, you guessed correctly. If you're diving offshore, you've got to take boat traffic into consideration. So always have a dive flag or signal buoy to show that you're in the water. And even with that, be extra careful when you're surfacing, because some of those boats can move awfully quickly, and you're hard to spot in the water.
You speak the truth. I know boats and divers cohabitating in Florida waters presents a constant challenge.
And that's just because you've got so much great stuff for both people down there.
Again, you speak the truth.
It's how I roll.
Hey, yeah. Do you have any tips on the physical challenges of shore diving?
Mostly to just take the added physical challenge into account. Shore diving means wading through surf, and wading through surf isn't like wading into a lake or quarry. It can be physically challenging and demanding, because it'll require greater efforts to keep your balance, and it'll likely require you to expend more energy than usual just getting to the dive site. Make sure you and your buddy have a rendezvous plan in case the surf separates you, and be sure to account for the greater physical demand in your dive plan, and be careful not to start your dive exhausted.
Are there any other special considerations to take into account when shore diving?
A few. As with all diving, check the conditions before you head out. Keep a close eye on tides and currents. Dives can and should be called off when currents are too strong, so be sure to look for signs of them. Check the surf too, and aside from the obvious challenges we've already mentioned, they can indicate strong currents as well. If you're not familiar with the local tides and currents, find a knowledgeable source and learn about them before you even consider diving in the waters.
How about legal requirements?
Ooh, that's a good point. Wherever you do the shore diving, make sure you're familiar with the local laws and regulations. Are dive flags required? Are there any restrictions on where you can dive?
Nothing like ending a dive with an arrest.
Imagine the mugshot.
Your mask ring forever captured in posterity. Did we forget anything?
Just one more thing. Be sure to take your parking proximity into consideration as well. Before you worry about the physical toll the surf will take, know how far you'll have to carry your gear and how much energy you'll have to expend getting it to and from your entry point.
So if you plan a shore dive, make sure you have all your safety equipment and have it in place. Have a first aid kit, oxygen unit, and cell phone or radio on site in case of emergency. Even if it's not required in your area, have a signal flag with you, obey the local laws, and take physical demands into consideration, including gear trekking and surf wading.
Those are some of the basics. Of course, if you want to learn more, there's always training to be had through your specialty course.
Shore diving offers some wonderful opportunities and a greater sense of freedom than many other types of diving. Like any diving, though, shore diving requires thought, planning, attention to detail, and a little common sense. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now, a couple weeks ago, I did this top 10 list of U.S. dive sites of the U.S. and Caribbean. It was for a big media publication, mainstream media publication. Can't say what it is yet because they haven't published it, and we'll see how that goes. And, of course, you'll be the first to know. However, you know, it was tough to narrow it down to 10. It's almost an impossible task. Any diver in the know would tell you this the same. You know, my favorite dive is my next dive. That's how I look at it. However, I did come up with the list and rated them accordingly, at least to my opinion. And, of course, I've had some, you know, feedback since. People making comments, complaints, suggestions, that kind of thing. It's definitely on the U.S. dive site side of things. And one of these places was suggested by a listener who emailed me and said there's this place called Seabase in Utah that I'd never heard of, and said, you ought to check this out. It was pretty unique. And so I said, well, what the heck? I'll look these guys up, seabase.net, and just give them a call and find out what's going on. So we have Ron on Scuba Radio right now from seabase.net. Ron, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much for having us on.
Yes, you got it. So tell us about this place in Utah. First of all, where are you located exactly?
We're located about 35 miles west of Salt Lake,
okay,
right off the main freeway out here. And we're really, considered in Grantsville, Utah, but we're 5 miles from them. And we're out here in the starting of the desert as you head west toward the Bonneville Salt Flats. This place was started back in the early 90s. The owners bought it because it had some springs, and they wanted to have a place for people to be able to certify and do their open water certification.
All right, so let me get this straight. You guys are located in the desert, but it's a spring inside the desert or in the desert area there of Utah?
In the desert area, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's a big spring, big opening, but
well,
it's, or what?
No, we had about seven or eight small hot water springs that were coming up. The ground it comes out of the ground at about 90 degrees.
Yeah, okay.
But years ago, millions of years ago, they used to have what they call Lake Bonneville. It covered all of Utah, or most of Utah, clear up into Idaho and over into Nevada. And when it was a fissure or breaking the ground up in Idaho, it took a year for all the water to drain out. And because of our altitude here, all the minerals went in the ground as this lake receded. So now these springs are coming up, and as they come up, they pick up all the minerals that are in the ground, and it comes up salty, just like the ocean.
Oh, okay.
So because of that, we're able to sustain the life of fish. When the owner started this, somebody came out and tested the water and said fish will not live out here.
Yeah.
Well, she tried a couple little mollies, and now we have millions of them.
Hmm.
We had somebody that gave us some Nerf sharks. They were between 24 and 38 or 30 inches long. Now they're only 10 feet long.
Wow.
So we have people that come out here. They drive a half hour east of Salt Lake and go skiing. You drive west a half hour from Salt Lake, and you can go scuba diving with the sharks and all the other fish we have.
Amazing. All right, so the saltwater content is close enough to the ocean to sustain marine life that you would see in the Caribbean or Pacific or where. Well, it's warm water, I guess, obviously, right?
Correct. Uh-huh. Yes,
so it's like diving in the Caribbean in the summer. It's a bathwater diving, it sounds like.
In the summer, our water temperature will get up into the 80s. And, of course, with the ambient temperature during the winter and the wind, it will drop down into the low 60s.
Well, okay, all right.
That's kind of hard on some of the fish. But we have three different ponds out here that we've dug out around the springs and lined and everything. One of them is 14 feet deep. The other one is 22, and then we have our real deep one, which is 62 feet deep. And with our altitude, it makes it an 83-foot dive, so people can come out and get a deep dive out here.
Wow, okay. I never thought about that from the altitude standpoint. Well, this sounds really interesting. And so you can go there and do just a fun dive, or you can do training and all that kind of stuff, right?
We have a lot of instructors that bring their students out from the dive shops in Salt Lake on the weekends.
I want to learn more about this. More with Ron coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg, the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You came all the way down here
for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program, meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're talking about saltwater diving in the middle of the United States, I guess. I don't know. Ron is my guest right now from seabase.net. You can check it out online. But it's a unique dive site that evidently has saltwater in their springs because the minerals are sucked up there through these springs in Utah and creates an environment that even marine life can survive in. Is that right, Ron?
That is correct. Uh-huh.
That is amazing, I got to say.
I would say we probably have, well, it's hard to tell because we put the fish in real small. If they grow up, fine. But I know we have a minimum of at least 50 different varieties of saltwater fish.
Wow.
We have four or five different types that reproduce very well out here. And people are amazed when they come here. In fact, I had a gentleman from Hawaii that came and dove. By the way, this is considered a low-vis dive area. Our visibility is between... 6 to 13 feet visibility.
Oh, okay.
But I had this gentleman from Hawaii, and I apologized. It wasn't as clear as Hawaii. He says, don't apologize. He says, I've seen more fish today than I see in a half a dozen dives in Hawaii.
Well, there you go. It's a small area, and you got a lot of stuff condensed in there, I guess. Or,
yeah.
You know, right?
We have our divers will take romaine lettuce and go down on the bottom of our one, both of our larger springs.
Yeah.
And a head of romaine lettuce might last you 5 minutes underwater. There's that many fish in the water.
Interesting. All right, so you said there's like six or so different spring areas, and the temperature can range.
We dug around the springs.
Oh, okay.
And incorporated them into three different ponds.
Oh, I got you. Okay. But I thought you were saying earlier that the springs were like 90 degrees or something, and that's
they
what...
They come up out of the ground at 90 degrees.
Okay.
But because they're open, it depends on the weather. And see, right now, beautiful day in the 70s, which is nice for us. But in the winter, we could get up as much as 2 or 3 feet of snow, and the spring temperatures of the water will drop down to about 65 degrees, maybe a little bit lower.
Okay, I got you. So it's the ambient air temperature that brings that water down. So if you want to get down to that warm 90-degree water, you got to go all the way to the bottom, and maybe you might get into that.
Uh-huh.
I'm a warm water Florida diving whoosh. You hear what I'm saying, Ron? So I'm just linking that, you know, that might be where I want to plan my profile. So the deepest pond that you have, you said, is about what?
Is 62 feet.
62 feet. And how wide in diameter of a pond opening are we talking?
That one over there is probably only about 40 to 50 feet in diameter.
Okay. So plenty big enough for people to get in, and you could have a class or whatever training
they want to do. In the winter, they do a lot of certification in there because we do have lights and some platforms put in for them, but it stays a little warmer. Normally, that does not get below about 78 during the winter because it's completely covered.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. So you have it all self-contained.
Yeah. You have one that's outside that's not covered at all that they use mainly for classes. We have platforms at 22 feet, and they can go down and do all of the skills they need to qualify for their open water. We also have like an inverted box, a large box that has windows in it.
Yeah.
We put air in there, and people can come up in there and look out the windows and see the other divers, even though they're underwater.
Got it. So you got a few, like, quarry-type things in there for people to play around with as well. Yes. Now, is there different marine life in each location as well, or is it just a mix-mash of everything?
We have a tunnel that goes between the two larger ones.
Ah, okay.
The sharks can go back and forth, the fish can go back and forth, the divers can go back and forth, so you can find them, depending on the temperature, in either area.
Got it. And I would imagine you guys have a full set of facilities as far as gear and everything people need, compressors and that kind of stuff, too, or what?
Believe it or not, we are just about like going downtown. We have a large building that has dressing rooms, tables and chairs. It's heated during the winter. We have fresh warm water showers out here. Anything you want, we've got. We do have Nitrox, aluminum and steel tanks so that people can come out and dive with anything out here.
Interesting. Now, Ron, you guys have been doing this since the late 90s, you said?
They opened this to the public in 90.
Wow. So is it very popular in the area for all the local dive centers and stuff, or what?
I need to say yes and no. And the no is because we are a low vis, and a lot of people certify in another area, which is like a hot tub here in Utah.
Yeah.
No fish, and it's very clear.
Got it.
So they come out here, and they have to put a wetsuit on. And low vis, they get a little concerned. But we have a ton of people that come out here constantly. We have groups that come out and do their dive-alongs at least once a month or so forth. And it's the only place that we know of that people can go out and dive with fish. In fact, we've got a new aquarium here in the area, and yet we still have the largest sharks in the state of Utah out here.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, low vis, but marine life, and that's what we're usually going down to check out anyway. And enough visibility to see them, that's all that counts. I can't believe I've never heard of this place.
If those people would like to see what we've got out here, if they want to go on Bonneville Sea Base Review on YouTube, there's an 8-minute video that people came from Boise, Idaho, and shows some of the fish life, what we have inside and outside. Very interesting.
I'm sure it is. Seabase.net. Check it out. All right, we got another hour of Scuba Radio on deck. Stay close. We're just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.